This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato. I hit it
hard, man. A good Saturday morning, everybody. John Granato here in Houston along with Charlie Epps. He's in studio. We'll be bringing Billy Harmon on in just a minute, and Blaine McAllister is going to join us a little later in the show. Charlie, what's going on?
You know, John, I'm here with Jose. We got everything under control at the mothership, ready to talk a little golf, a little, you know, activity that's going on today with Tiger and Phil, with two quarterbacks. That's kind of fun. I think it's going to be a fun afternoon to watch a little of that. I'm going to record it. So other than that, we're doing good.
Yeah, no. It's going to be a fun weekend. Did you watch Rory and DJ and Ricky and Matthew?
I did, and I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, but I love watching Rory swing. I like watching the other guys play. Dustin Johnson was a little rusty, you might say, but in the end, they overcame Ricky and his partner, who. How about that swing?
Yeah. Well, how about that power?
Oh, man. 360.
You're not going to change that swing. That kid is I was watching him at Oklahoma State, and he was just fantastic. They had a hell of a golf team over there at Oklahoma State, and he was a big part of it. And you just look at that, and you go, but I know a couple of pros that have seen him on the range, and, you know, they were asked about him, and they just said, you just don't mess with that at all. It's unbelievable how he can get where he gets, but that kick start action,
yep.
And then the over the, I mean, it's just, I mean, makes Jim Furyk look like a natural swing, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the first time I saw John Daly. I couldn't believe what I just saw. First time I see what this guy's doing, I said, no, wait a minute. And, you know, he won his first tournament right out of the box after playing so well in college.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's a good player. Now, we're going to be watching Matthew Wolff. And it was interesting that he was a choice, I think, trying to bring some of the young guys along with. And this is a powerful guy. They must like him to be including him in that deal because there were so many other guys like Justin Thomas and other guys that could have been included. But that was fun. It was a good way to get started. It was a weird way to end. We'll talk about that. Billy Harmon is going to join us on the other side. We're just getting started on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. It's 12 after the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Let's bring in a good friend, Billy Harmon, from his palatial estate in Palm Springs. Bill, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing great. Now, normally, Bill, aren't you're heading up northeast? Either you're in Colorado or you'll go up north. It's got to be getting hot down there, isn't it?
You know, we've had a kind of a tremendous cold spell or cool spell. It's been in the mid-90s, which is quite comfortable. It's supposed to go up later on. I'll be here most of the month of June, and I'll be doing some golf schools in July, but I'll be here all the month of June now that the U.S. Open and the Senior Open was canceled, but the U.S. Open was moved.
Well, Bill, I'm sure you're disappointed with that, but I think the USGA had to do what it did. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how many qualifying events they run all over the country, and a lot of the country clubs weren't really too sure. They couldn't commit to giving up their course and so on and so forth. So we're going to have a year where there's no outsiders qualify for the for the Open Championship, and it'll still be wonderful. It'll still going to be a great Open at Wingfoot.
I agree with that, and I think that there's some people argue that they shouldn't call it an Open anymore because of, you know, they don't have the qualifying. But I think sometimes you have to take into consideration the unusual, extenuating circumstances. You're trying to get the tournament in There is no way, as you said, Charlie, for them to conduct the qualifying that I've heard that go over almost 100 different sites to make sure everybody's tested and so on and so forth. So I think they're doing the best that they could with what they have. And I, for one, even if I wasn't going to be on the announcing team, I, for one, would still want them to play because I care about watching golf and major championships.
Yeah, for those of you that didn't hear, the USGA has decided that there is no open qualifying, that you qualify by your stats and where you are in the world rankings. And, Bill, have you had meetings, or is it business as usual as far as the broadcast goes? What's going on there?
I haven't heard anything. I got an email a couple weeks ago about, what they've rescheduled. But it was kind of a group email because there's certain people that are hired to do certain tournaments. So my concern is the U.S. Open. So I talked to some people on the Fox teams, and they were, surprised maybe that the USGA decided not to do the juniors and the things like that. But it is what it is, and I'm just hoping that they get that U.S. Open in a wing foot because I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah.
What kind of accommodations are they going to provide for you, Bill? Have they gone through that with you?
No, they haven't done any of that with me at all. It's four months away maybe, so I just hope in those 4 months they don't decide to release me. So I'm hanging low, boy. I'm not demanding anything. I just want to be there come September for the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. But I'm very excited about it. I've heard that the course is absolutely magnificent, that the fairways are cut to 28 yards and the rough is growing and stuff. So I think it'll be a phenomenal championship.
You know, it's funny. These courses have not had more. Our courses here, I swear, every course, Charlie, and I get around a little bit. I've got my afternoons free, so I've been playing quite a bit. And every course I go to here in the Houston area has been wonderful. And we've never, and I know a lot of these courses have never seen more play. It's been jam-packed throughout the entire city. I know, Bill, you talked about it before, too. You guys, your course has been pretty busy, too, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I don't know what it is,
want to be able to get outside.
I don't know what it is time of the year or these wonderful superintendents or whatever, but it seems like every course that I go to is just beautifully manicured and well-kept. And so big ups to those guys being able to work through all of this and all of these people that are playing out there. And like you said, your course, the course Wingfoot up there is in great shape. What have you heard about the senior event, Bill, the senior open?
Well, that's been canceled. So
that's over.
That's over with. No, it's
they're
not
going
to happen.
That.
So
yeah.
No, and they will not be at Newport next year, so they're probably off the schedule. I don't know if they've done any, I don't know how far out they've got the Senior Open venues done yet, or whether they'll give Newport another shot at it or not. So it's kind of a shame. I think Newport Country Club would have been a wonderful venue for the tournament. It's an incredible setting. The clubhouse there is probably the most unique clubhouse in America, maybe. And it's just a wonderful golf course, but it's really kind of a shame that the country is not going to see Newport Country Club, and these players aren't going to see it.
Yeah, but feel for you too. That was your shot to announce with Jay out
on
there. Yeah, that would have been cool to be able to announce with Jay
it
out there.
It would have been cool,
and all those other guys that you know so well. That would have been neat stuff. But you got the U.S. Open at least at Wingfoot, and we'll be looking forward to that. So that's pretty good. Did you watch any of the match last week between DJ and Ricky and Rory and Matthew?
I did. I was interested because my dad was a pro at Seminole, and they recognized his course record, so it was nice to see him get some recognition. I was on a group text almost the whole telecast with my brother Butch and Craig, kind of going over some of our memories of Seminole, which I don't have many because I was very, very young. And I think we all kind of concluded if it wasn't at Seminole, we probably would have quit watching on about the second or third hole. I didn't think it was very riveting. I was surprised how little interaction they had the players all mic'd up, but there wasn't a lot of interaction. But at the end of the day, you know, they raised a lot of money, and I think that's the important thing. Charlie knows these guys, you know, that they save their energy for real tournaments, and whoever won or lost that match, I don't think any of the four guys driving out of Seminole that afternoon were devastated that they lost. Would you agree with that, Charlie?
I'm not sure about that. I don't think Ricky was too pleased with the way he finished that event, you know, with a poor shot on 18. And then in the playoff, his attempt to try to hit the green was a horrible shot. So having said that, they did raise a lot of money, and it was
a little
boring. But I really like watching Rory McIlroy swing his driver. I think that's a unique.
Unbelievable.
A unique. And then the new kid on the block, Wolf, unique swing. It's going to be interesting to go out to the golf courses this summer and see how many people are going to copy that.
How can you copy that? I don't think he's got to worry about that too much. What I will say is this. You know, we had our biggest, largest betting weekend in months, and a big part of it was that match. And the way that they finished it, I can't imagine there were a lot of bettors that were too happy about it. The odds were Ricky and were that DJ and Rory, they were big favorites, and a lot of money came in on Ricky and Matthew, and for them to decide it on a closest to the hole, I don't imagine was too satisfying for a lot of the gamblers out there that finally got something to bet on.
Well, if they're betting on that, they don't have enough to do. I mean, come on,
well,
John.
They haven't had anything
come
to
on,
do, Charlie.
Charlie,
they haven't had come anything on, to do.
Don't be knocking guys like me, although I didn't bet that. But, you know, Santa Anita opened up last week, and without any spectators, they had two times the handle that they had when they had spectators, people betting online.
Twice
the amount of money was bet last week at the opening at Santa Anita than there was when the track is open to the spectators.
Well, I saw that sports gamblers have had been so you know, itchy to get some action that they're actually betting on the stock market now because they got to have something to bet on. So
yuck, anything. That's right.
When we get back this fall, if we've got baseball, we'll have basketball, we'll have football, college and pro, we'll have golf. Don't worry, bettors, you're going to have plenty to play. There will be plenty out there because it's been so dearth so far this year. All right, it's 22 past the hour. Let's talk a little bit about Insperity before we bring Blaine on, Charlie. Let's talk about your peeps over at Insperity.
You know, as we're seeing during this horrible pandemic that our country's experienced, small business has such a great part of our economy, and they are really, really been handcuffed, and a lot of them aren't going to survive. But I'm going to recommend to all of the small business owners, if you really want some help, some ideas, some important information, Insperity has a group of professionals that are led by Mr. Servati that really know how to help you all out of what you're going through. And they'll give you some support. They will, your HR problems, so on and so forth. But they've expanded their footprint, and they've been very successful. They have over 3,500 employees all across the United States. And Insperity is a company that will help small business, and they really will enhance your way to perform. So call Insperity, log on to Insperity.com, and I guarantee you, you'll be very happy that you did.
All right. That's Insperity, inspiring business performance right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Let's bring Blaine McAllister in on the other side, the longtime professional golfer, five-time winner on the PGA Tour. That'll happen next right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. Being joined right now by an old friend of Charlie's and Billy's and myself, going back a long way, where he came here and raised millions and millions of dollars. He and the his other two amigos and went to the University of Houston, went on to win five tournaments on the PGA Tour. Blaine McAllister here with us. Blaine, what's going on?
Good morning, fellas. How are y'all?
Great, we're Blaine. Good to hear from you.
We're doing great. Hey, now, where you at? Where have you been?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida.
In Jacksonville, Florida.
And how's that? I got to do one thing, though, before we get started. Hey, John.
Yeah.
You need to send me my money back.
What money back?
Well, I haven't heard from you. I haven't seen you. I haven't got no news from you. I thought you died. I sent flowers to your funeral. So
you owe
me $25.
I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Oh my gosh! I mean, talking about a voice of the past. Holy cow!
Incognito. I'm trying to lay low, Blaine. I'm in the media. I'm trying not to be noticed by anybody. All right.
So yeah. Well, obviously, because I mean, I sent $25 worth of flowers. I thought you died, pal.
I'm here, buddy. I'm here. Thanks, though. I appreciate the flowers. I gave them to my wife, so it saved me money.
Okay, well, good. You owe me 25.
All right, I'll get it to you. Have you been on the golf courses, Blaine? What's Jacksonville like during this pandemic?
You know, the good news is the governor didn't close the golf courses here in the state of Florida, so that was an essential. So it's been wonderful. I mean, you can go out and play golf. You can practice. I mean, they do actually, you know, it's only one person per cart, so social distancing, obviously, and they got the flags with the styrofoam inside and the cups and so forth. But, you know, I mean, they've given it's been wonderful, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been hunkered down. I'm the only one that gets out of the house. I mean, my wife and I go walking a lot, and I cook the meals. But we've stayed safe. I mean, the whole family's been safe. The grandkids have been safe. So, you know, everything, we're lucky. Boy, this has been some kind of trial and error with everybody having to go through this.
Well, Blaine, after all is said and done, and this is probably one of the longest layoff a lot of the players have had, especially the champion senior tour guys, how do you think they're going to come out of this? And when the competition starts back, do you think it's going to take a while for some guys to get started again?
Well, the one thing I would say is there's still a lot of things to be to have to go through yet. I mean, I know the PGA Tour is talking about starting here in a couple of weeks out in Fort Worth, Texas. But, Charlie, I know with the testing that they've got going on right now, they don't have a full-fledged test that proves day in, day out that, you know, these guys can be out there. I mean, there's still questions to be answered. And I know a lot of the foreign players from out of the country, I mean, they're not even looking at coming over here due to the fact of, once you fly over here, you're quarantined for 2 weeks. Once you fly back to wherever they came from, they're quarantined for 2 weeks. They come over and play 2 weeks. That's 6 weeks out of their schedule and not being able to know whether they're safe or not. And I know the tour is doing everything they can, but, you know, the Champions Tour is postponed all events all the way to the last weekend of July, first week of August. And I think they're basically going to see how things go at first and base it on that. But, I know as a player, I don't know how you can feel comfortable out there. One day you're fine, and then 2 days later you test positive, and all of a sudden you're quarantined in that city wherever you are for 2 weeks. And, you know, you're on your own. They basically say, here, I'm sorry, you're out. So I don't know where they can go with this. I know they're trying everything they can. I mean, obviously other sports are trying to try, you know, go through it, but until they come up with a full-fledged test that can prove right there on the spot that you are fine, I don't know how they can justifiably send them out there. But, you know, they're trying, and I hope it works. But it's definitely their players are here in Jacksonville. There's a lot of them because the Korn Ferry Tour starts here the same time the Colonial is taking place. And they're starting right here on the Valley Course at the TPC. So there's a lot of guys that have come in early, and they're practicing. So I'm seeing a lot of the players out there. But you know, they're all nervous, too. They don't know where they stand. They don't know what their plans are. I mean, They're talking about everybody staying in the same hotel, everybody eating at the same, serving them at the hotels. You know, I don't know. They've got a lot of unanswered questions, and I know they're working hard trying to find something.
Hey, Blaine, Bill Harmon here. First, I want to compliment you on getting on John Granato for money he owes you instead of money that I owe you. That was a good start for me.
Don't think I haven't forgot you, Billy. I haven't forgot you.
Yeah,
now.
I know. That's why I made the opening salvo there myself. You know, I was looking at the tournaments that you won, and I noticed that you won the Bank of Boston Classic, I believe it was at Pleasant Valley. Is that true?
That's true. That's right.
And then you lost in a playoff at the Bank of Boston Classic. I'm assuming that was at Pleasant Valley also.
Yes, it was.
What was it about that golf course that you liked?
Well, you know, they always say you have an eye for courses that you really, when you step on the tee, everything you see is visually a positive aspect for you. And I just had that mm-hmm. feeling every time I went there. I mean, I got on the tee and I could see every shot I wanted to play. It just like it came right to me. And the golf course itself wasn't a long golf course, but yet it was a golf course that demanding straight driving, which I feel like I'm pretty good at. And I put myself in play on every hole, and it just fit my eye, Billy. It's kind of like, you know, why does Tiger have so much success at Bay Hill? I mean, why does he have so much success at the Memorial? You know, these are eyes, you know, your eyes set up at San Diego. Look at what he's done there. But I don't know. There's just courses. I mean, I take Freddie Couples, for example, what he looks at Augusta National. Every time he steps on the tee, he feels like he's going to play good there because it just fits his eye. And he talks about it all the time. He says, every time I get on the course, I can see what I want to do. I can see the shot I want to hit. And, I mean, I think it's just the way eyes look at it, the way your mindset gets. And that's the way I was with Pleasant Valley.
Well, let's go back to your first win at the Hardys. Breaking mm-hmm. through, Blaine, what did that mean, finally getting and breaking through and getting that win?
Well, I guess the number one thing was, say, the hard work you put in and the belief that you have in yourself. And, you know, the struggles that you go through are always learning curves that I believe in the game of golf. And, my hard work with Charlie was so important with me because it instilled the positive aspect of what I wanted to do in the game of golf. And he kept pushing me harder and harder. And I kept wanting to prove more and more that I belonged out there. And, I played a lot of practice rounds with veteran golfers out there on the PGA Tour. So that helped a lot, watching Lanny Watkins and Ray Floyd playing with them in practice rounds. And you know, just watching them, how they handled themselves, how they played the game, and, you know, you learn from that. I mean, Billy will tell you, I've played a lot with Jay Haas and how he played the golf game. And I just, you know, you learn from these veterans, and I think that was really what helped. I mean, I got the belief in myself that I could play the game, and it just was a positive step in the right direction. And, you know, coming down the stretch, I just knew I had to hit shots, and I didn't think about anything else. I was just trying to play golf shots and hit them and take the results. And, I mean, wasn't getting too far ahead of myself. I mean, that's the one thing I really had to learn through the years was try not to get too far ahead of yourself and think about the results. So I was just trying to think one shot at a time, and I put it together. I mean, I'm put back-to-back round 62, 63, so that was a really good feeling to go out there and then followed it up with a couple of bookends of 68. So that was a really nice feeling to go out knowing that you can do that. And it just kind of catapulted me into the next win, and it just kind of started flooding in. But it's a rewarding fact that you know that the work you put in and the belief that you have in your game is what you get out of it. And that's what I was really excited about.
Wait, Charlie.
We're going to be up against it.
Okay.
Here. So let's get the next question in on the other side.
Yeah.
And we've got
it.
Blaine McAllister here with us. And that Hardys Golf Week, that week, his first win, 68, 62, 63, 68, minus 19, won by three strokes. What a week he had. And he followed that up at the Honda with a minus 22, wins by four strokes. About a year later. So that was great stuff for Blaine McAllister. We'll continue with his career and more right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. We've got Blaine McAllister, five-time winner, out there on the PGA Tour, and one of the three amigos raising millions of dollars here in the city of Houston for years with Jim Nantz and Freddie Couples. Charlie, fire away.
Well, you know, Blaine, you mentioned all the stars you played with, but I know you spent a lot of time on the golf course with our good friend Eddie Fiore. I mean, you got to talk a little about the grip.
What's there to say? I mean, the legend, as I call him, the one and only David Faraday had the greatest comment about Ed Fiore on TV one time. They were showing him, and he said his grip looks like two crabs during mating season. So I'll never forget that. But Eddie played with more guts than anybody I'd ever seen in the game of golf. I mean, As I tell him, you weren't dealt a good hand. You were dealt with a bad body, a bad grip, and you showed heart more than anybody. But he is a good friend. I know he's had a lot of health issues here recently, and I still talk to him probably twice a week. But he is just what a competitor. I mean, also he's a five-time winner. Also, he won four times on the PGA Tour, and if you think about who he beat Weisskopf at the Western, he beat Tom Kite at the Hope. I mean, he is.
How about Tiger?
No backup. Oh yeah, he beat Tiger the first time Tiger came out, and as Eddie says, they were looking for the cobra, and the grass snake got him. So that's one of the best signs I've ever heard out of him. But he is—he's truly a great friend and a legend, and I truly love being around him and talking with him and his wife, Debbie. They're wonderful folks, and I cherish that relationship I have with him.
Well, Eddie, I hope you're listening, because I know you're going through some health issues, but you talk about a tough little guy. He can do it, John. He was really quite a golfer.
Funny.
You know,
and funny.
He is funny.
Yeah, he's one of those that could sit on the fence post and he could give you all the results real quick. he could narrow the crowd out pretty quick. But that's one thing about him. When you came in the locker room, he knew where you stood. He was quick to tell you right off the top. He was they called him the parrot, because he would just start barking at you as soon as you came in the locker room.
Billy?
Hey, Blaine, as a native Texan, what did it mean to you to win the Texas Open there in San Antonio, assuming it was at Oak Hills?
Yes, it was at Oak Hills. Really, the one thing I can always say, my mother said there was, you know, they always say there's four majors, the Open, the Masters, the PGA, and the British. My mother said there's four majors, and they're all here in the state of Texas. And now there's five, obviously, with the Dell Match Play. But she said, at least you got one major under your belt. And when I won there in San Antonio, it's probably the biggest thrill you could ever have as a native Texan, and to win in your home state and to win in front of your family, your friends, and there's nothing I'll ever, ever replace that feeling that I had. And doing that, and you know, I played the Texas State Junior all the years, and the Texas State Amateur, and the Texas State Open, and I was fortunate to win the Texas State Open, and then follow it up by winning the Texas Open. I mean, that is something I'll cherish for as long as I live, and it's a memory I'll always have. It means so much to be a native Texan and win in your home state. That is just, there's nothing like it, in my opinion.
How'd you get down to Australia on the Australasia Tour and win down there at the Vines?
Well, you know, that's now called the Johnny Walker Classic. And what happened is at the time I had a week off on my schedule, and my the agents I had at the time, Vinny Giles and Vernon Spradley, made an arrangement that I got invited to go play. And I'll give you a funny story. It's a long ways. It's Perth, Australia. And so I was off that week on the PGA Tour. And so my wife and I flew to Australia, and I played in the tournament. But I ended up winning the tournament. And the funny thing is over there they actually had betting on players. You could bet on a player as far as, you know, they were going off at They had me going off at 33-1. And my caddy just happened to be a guy. He said, hey, they got you at 33-1. You want to put any money on it? And I said, heck yeah. So I gave him $500 in Australian money, and I won. And it paid me It paid me $16,000.
Nice.
And I was down there. Lanny Watkins was down there with me also. And we got on the airplane to fly home, and he said, well, you know, the one thing about it, you're only going to get half of that due to the taxes down here. And I said, hey, Lanny, the one thing I can tell you is my banker's not going to know the difference because I got a full check. But I don't care. I'll write the other half off because that's what you could do. You could take a tax credit for it. But to make this long story short, the worst thing about the whole deal is my caddy ended up stealing the money. He took the 15 grand or 16 grand and ran off with it.
No way.
I never saw it. Yeah, I never saw it. But he took off with it. I never saw it because I had to run to the airport. So he said, I'll cash the check and I'll, you know, cash the chit and then I'll send it to you or, you know, get a money order and send it to you. And I said, fine. Well, he stole it, took off with it. Well, he got arrested. He got put in jail. I never saw a dime of that money.
That's unbelievable.
Scoundrel.
Never saw the money.
Oh, man.
Hey, Blaine, how many cars did you win on the PGA Tour? I know a used car lot.
Charlie, I won 5 cars.
5. Count them.
5.
How about that?
Well, I won 5. I won one for Honda Classic. I won one for Kapalua. They had one closest to the hole in the 17th hole, and I won one there. And then I won another one with 3 hole-in-ones.
How about that, guys?
How about that?
Hey, did you get a lifetime supply of Hardee's hamburgers when you won out there?
No, man, that was the only thing about it. Hardee's wasn't too popular down where we were, so I never got any. You know what I did get out of it, Charlie? I got a brand-new Rolex watch, though, so I got to give him credit there.
But his good friend Lanny Watkins would always say, hey, Blaine, when are you going to win a real tournament instead of those hamburger opens?
Yeah, well, Lanny, like I keep telling you, man, the banker doesn't know the difference what one and one between the other. So,
Lanny was a beauty, wasn't he?
Yes, he was, and he was a big friend of mine and still is, and like I said, him and Ray Floyd were really important in helping me a lot and learning how to get out there and hunker down.
Bill?
Blaine, look at the game, the modern game today and the all the advances in the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You think they've gone too far with allowing the ball and the clubs to take over and literally almost decimate every traditional great course we have in this country? Do you think that it's just a little bit too much at this point?
Billy, I totally agree from the aspect of the ball has got out of control. Obviously, the one thing I can tell you about the players today, they're so much bigger and so much stronger than what than the older generations. I mean, you're seeing guys 6'4", 6'5", 6'3", you know, playing the game of golf, and their strength is just enormous. I mean, it's the Tiger effect, basically. These guys got big, they got strong, they got faster. But then the equipment with the ball, you know, the testing with the ball the USGA did was, you know, they tested like 104 miles an hour. You know, so when they tested this ball, it didn't come off the club face enormously fast. So, I mean, it was not that. The ball was designed at 112 to 115 miles an hour of club face, and when it came off the club face, it reacted different. So I really think that, you know, they missed the boat and didn't really pay attention. And I know that when we were out there and the USGA would come by and said, hey, you want to get on our launch monitor, and all the manufacturers basically told you, don't do it, don't do it. And he knew what was going on. They just said, hey, they don't need to see what we've got here. And it's true. I mean, the ball just jumped off the face when you had faster club head speed. And today, these kids, I mean, 125 miles an hour, 127 miles an hour club head speed. And when that ball comes off at 185 to 190 miles an hour, I mean, you can see what's going to happen. I mean, the golf courses are becoming obsolete. And, I mean, my opinion, narrow the fairways, grow the rough, and let's see how good they are. I mean, that's the equalizer, in my opinion, because you're not going to beat them in the length department. But if you narrow the rough, you know, narrow the fairways, grow some rough, you can actually see if they can actually play the game. And I play with a lot of these kids here. I watch them. I play a lot with them here at home in Jacksonville. And I can tell you right now, they're not very good wedge players. It's tough to watch. I mean, they don't practice it. They don't worry about it. They just hit it as far as they can, and they figure they're going to be so far down there, it doesn't matter. They can throw it on the green. But that definitely, Billy, the ball got out of hand, and I'd like to see it come back just to see, you know, let's see what these guys really have, because there's some talent out there, but I'd like to see it, you know, the shot making.
Blaine McAllister with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Blaine, I had Stacy Lewis, her husband. I had her on this week on my show, and her husband is a University of Houston golf coach. Can you talk a little
right.
bit about University of Houston? He's got them coming back pretty good too. He's got a good team over there. So can you talk
yes,
about
he does.
You know, getting to the University of Houston from Fort Stockton and what University of Houston means to you?
Well, Dave Williams was the coach at the time, and you know, growing up in the state of Texas, there was only one university that you really heard about in the game of golf, and that was the University of Houston. I grew up in a small town in Fort Stockton, Texas, where we had no bunkers, no sand traps, no water traps. So, in the win there and the state championship high school in Austin, where I saw my first bunkers and, you know, where I was starting to experience that, I thought, he recruited me, and I said, well, the one thing I do know about Houston is there's trees. And out there in West Texas, we don't have trees. So I had to learn to come. I wanted to go to where I had to learn to hit the ball straight. I mean, I had a grip that looked like I was riding a Harley. I mean, it was really strong left-handed. I was hitting slap hooks. And, you know, when I got to Round Charlie, we started weakening my grip, and I started learning how to hit the ball straight. But I wanted to go play for the best of the best, and that's where I believed it was. It was at the University of Houston at the time, and Dave Williams was very, very instrumental in getting me there. And I was very excited about coming and playing these wonderful golf courses in the city of Houston.
Well, and Blaine, made lifelong friends.
Yeah, but you know, Blaine, you had something inside of you that you really wanted, and you just played for the love of the game. I mean, you would play every day that ends in Y. You never got tired of playing, and you went through some hard times, and yet you still come out and you still love to play the game.
Charlie, you're exactly right. I just every day I go out and hopefully I will see something that I can still do that I really am just so I get excited about, and that's what golf's about. It's about what you have inside. And you know, I'm starting to see it in a couple of my grandkids now. You know, I don't push them, but I'm starting to see them get excited about it. And I just think practicing is one thing, that's fine, but playing the game, where you learn the game to me is by playing it. You have to learn to be able to hit shots when you need to hit shots, and that's what it's about, and I love doing that.
That's Blaine McAllister right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Long-time friend. And Charlie was instrumental in your career, wasn't he, Blaine?
He's the reason I got where I did. And Billy, I'm Dick Harmon, your brother. The two of them together, Charlie and Dick, were like my favorite two people I could ever have in my life. And I couldn't be more excited to hang around the two greatest guys I've ever seen in the city of Houston when it comes to the golf industry. And I was fortunate enough to be part of it and be around them, and I cherished every moment of that, and I can't thank Charlie for my career enough. My success is due to what he did for me and his family, what they did for me, and how well they treated me, and we're lifelong friends, and I love Charlie Epps like a brother, and his family, I mean, his father and mother were very instrumental in my life, and I still think about him every day, and I miss being around him. I wish I was back in Houston, but you know, I got a wonderful wife of 30 years now, and it's just incredible how we've, you know, how it's evolved. But as I told at the Hall of Fame in Texas, I said, my mind may not be here, or my body may not be here in the state of Texas, but my heart is, and that's where it is, and it'll always be.
Blaine McAllister right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, Inspiring Business Performance. Blaine, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. It's been too long. Let's get back together.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much, and it's a pleasure,
thanks, Blaine.
Anytime.
Right. Thanks, Blaine. Love you, man.
All right, boys.
I'll send you that $25. Wait by the mailbox. I'll send it like that guy from Australia sent you your money. All right. right, we're going to take a break. 54 past the hour on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's John Granato.
All right, we got a minute left here in the show. I mentioned Stacey Lewis. She was on this week, and hopefully we raised a little money for the Houston Food Bank through the Spirit Fund, Charlie. $1.3 million already raised for the food bank here, thanks to Corby Robertson and the great people at Whispering Pines.
Yes, sir. We raised another $100,000 this week, and we're going towards our goal of $2 million. The Houston people are really, you know, helping us out. The Texas Golf Association, all the golfers in Texas are helping the food fund and help support the Houston Food Fund. So it's a great cause, and we're doing great.
Yeah, text 41444. And you can make a donation right now to the Spirit Golf. What a great operation Corby's put together there. And Stacey Lewis, part of that. Jim Nance, a part of that. Just great, great stuff. Billy, great job. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Boy.
We'll talk again next week. Thanks. We've got more to talk about with Tiger and Phil coming up on Sunday, tomorrow, right here. So, Charlie, we appreciate it, and we will talk next week. Y'all have a great golf week, everybody.
Thank you, Johnny. Bye-bye.
See you, buddy.